Tess ER, Tuesday the 24th of April, Rabbi Moshe Levy, Understanding Tiferes. Tiferes, hold your soul.
Morning.
Shut Rabbi Tawil, Kahal Kadosh. As we get ready for Shavuot, it's important for us to understand what exactly is everything all about. When it said, what am I going to speak about? I told Dodi, pick a topic and I'll make it work. But he wrote in Yonah Diyoma. So Yonah Diyoma is not just one topic, it's everything. So I thought we'd try and encompass everything. I was giving a class yesterday. I have a lunch and learn. The boys and girls of Brampton College non-Jewish school. Unfortunately, there was one boy who was in J-Cos last year, brought his non-Jewish girlfriend. So I had to be careful exactly what I was going to say and how I was going to say it. And I said to them, you know, we have coming up. Obviously, this Olam already knows most of these Yisaidis. I said, we have coming up Shavuot. How could you name the holiday Shavuot? Surely you would name the holiday Chag Matan Torah, something to do with the giving of the Torah. And not only that, in the actual Torah, we don't see anything. The big machloket in the Gemara, that have been Avav Sivan, Zayin Sivan. You don't see anything in that. We have a whole few prakim about Matan Torah, obviously. But you don't see anything in the Torah that connects it to the holiday, to the Chag Yom Tov of Shavuot. Furthermore, another famous question, why do we count up as opposed to counting down? When you're excited for something, anybody who has a child who's engaged, usually it's the woman, she makes a countdown calendar. Eh? And every day you take away one, another one, 32, 31, 30, 29, you get excited. Yet we're counting up. Those are questions that we've heard before. But an interesting question that I don't necessarily know, I hadn't heard it before this year. When we count, we count. Hayom arba'a ve'eslim yom la'omer. Surely we should count. Hayom arba'a ve'eslim yom la'matan Torah. I understand. Chag HaShavuot is called Shavuot because it's the weeks that we prepare to be able to receive the Torah. But the Omer is a one day a year thing. The day after Pesach, the day that you bring the Omer, you start counting. One day a year, you bring the Korban HaOmer, and that's it. We're not counting today's 24 days to the Omer. Omer happened 23 days ago. If we're counting, we should be counting to Matan Torah. What's going on over here? So, just to answer the questions quickly before we get to the heart of the matter. Shavuot, as we mentioned, is all about the weeks. All about the preparation. B'nai Yisrael, they're in Mitzrayim, they're in Egypt, they're animals. They're slaves. Maral explains, Behema is Bama. What's inside of it? Nothing. Ba, inside of it, ma. What you see is what you get. There's no working on character traits. Sometimes you'll see, you know, a big dog, and there's a little chihuahua, and the chihuahua starts barking at the Rottweiler, and you're thinking, Habibi, he can just step on you. Gamarta, you're dumb. What are you thinking? What's the answer? It's an animal. It doesn't think. It has instincts, and that's it. The ramifications of the actions, it can't wake up one day and say, oh, Yom Kippur, I'm going to fast today. It's an animal. There's no thought process, if you will. When someone's a slave, what happens? All logic goes out the window. And nowadays, unfortunately, people, they're slaves to their addictions. Whatever the addiction might be. And you're trying to, you're thinking, are you kidding me? You're going to throw away your wife and your kids because you have a ta'ava? Because you have a desire for another person, for gambling, for drugs, for smoke? It's ruining your life, and everyone sees it, but it doesn't matter to that person. Because in a way, they're an animal. They're a behemoth. There's nothing they can do to control themselves. They didn't work on their character traits enough in that area to be able to control themselves. Hashem says, you're in Mitzrayim. You have no drive. You have no conviction. You're a slave. You wake up in the morning. You work. You go to sleep at night exhausted. There's nothing else there that you need to or can do. So now you need to work on yourself. To be able to receive the Keter Torah, you take a crown and you put it on a pig, it looks ridiculous. It's an animal. Animals don't wear crowns. The Omer is a sacrifice, it's a korban. Of animals. Animals eat barley. Human beings, we get to Shavuot, you have the Shtei Alechem, we eat bread. And this you've heard before many times. Why is it that we're counting up as opposed to counting down? When someone counts down, the thing that's in their way is a nuisance. I just want to get to the wedding. Every day is just a pain till I get there. And then on that day, boom, everything happens in one shot. As opposed to over here. It's not that on Shavuot we get a prize of £1,000,000. It's every single day you get £20,000. And you can't get to the second day if you didn't do the first day. You can't get to day 41 if you didn't do day 40. Every day you're getting £20,000 till you get to £1,000,000. But it's not that every day is a nuisance, it's a hassle. When I finally hit this magic number, boom, I get everything. Every day is a day of growth. And I should point that out, I haven't really seen anybody say it. Included in the growth is failure. Bnei Yisrael leave Mitzrayim, and if they're on the 49th level of Tumah, to be able to receive the Torah, what level did they get to? 49th level of Kiddushah, which means they didn't go up one level every day. They went up two. If they went up one level, then they'd be like neutral. By the time Shavuot came, it says that they were on the 49th level of Kiddushah. They're going up two levels a day. Included in that is many times they made mistakes. They're by Yam Suf, there's four different camps, but they're all complaining. That's a day of growth. They go 3 days in the desert, and they come to Moshe, I'm Ebliyan Kfarim in Mitzrayim, you brought us out here, we have no water. That's a day of growth. They're fighting versus Amalek, and they're asking, Hayesh Hashem b'kibenum ayin, day of growth. People are going to make mistakes. People are going to fail. The question is, how do you act after you fail? Someone's on a diet. And they mess up. They cheat. They eat something they shouldn't have eaten. What do they usually say? Start again tomorrow. Which now means, forget about it. They stuffed their face. Once I broke it, I might as well enjoy myself. Breaking it wasn't the problem. What was the problem? How they acted after they broke it. So they started again, if they start again, if they didn't throw in the towel. Mistakes are going to happen, mistakes are part of your growth. Sheva Yipol Tzadik V'Kamalo. But, how do we act afterwards? That's really the question. Part of the growth is the failure. What's going on over here? That the Torah, or that the Chachamim say, we should say, Hayom Arba Yisemim La'Omer. The Jewish people have no idea what it means, Torah. Imagine you come to someone, I gave an example one time to some girls, I said, anybody here babysit yet? Imagine you have one of those parents, carrot sticks is like a big dessert, right? And celery and this and that, they're health, I don't know if nuts is the right term, and it's a pun, so I don't want to say freaks, that's not a nice word, but health fanatics, very health conscious. And you're babysitting, and you tell the kid, if you listen, I'll give you ice cream. Now the kid doesn't know what ice cream is. The kid never heard of ice cream. And the kid's like, what's that? And you're like, it's cold and it's like a swirl and it like melts in your mouth. And what's the kid thinking? I don't understand what you're talking about. I'm going to behave for that? What is it? Bnei Yisrael, Hashem says, you're going to count to the Torah. That's meaningless. I don't know what the Torah is. I have people, they don't keep Shabbat. I tell them, do you understand how beautiful Shabbat is? No. You sit around the table with your friends, with your family, you sing songs, no phones. They're like, with all due respect, that sounds horrendous. Sounds terrible. I don't want to sing songs. Who sings songs with their parents? I never heard of such a thing. The one time we get together is on, you know, when we have a family get together, there's fighting, there's screaming. No phones? That's the only escape we have. If you don't have someone who ever kept Shabbat and you try and explain to them the beauty of Shabbat, it's very hard to explain to them how amazing Shabbat is. Once somebody had a meaningful Shabbat, you can say, you want more of that? Okay, great. Hashem says, I'm going to give you the Torah. It's meaningless. So what do you explain to this person? you explain to this person, look, there's certain elements of your life you're not happy with. Sure. Sometimes I feel that I'm in the rat race of life. I'm on the wheel and I just can't get off. And I wake up in the morning and then I have problems with the spouse and the kids and the job and the boss. And I have to pay the bills. And it's a big cycle. You say, okay. I'm going to help you get off that rat race. I'm going to help you get off the wheel. Now the person's willing to listen to you. To say, Hayom arba'a simanim la'omer, you're saying the omer, the physical, animalistic challenges that you have, come, let's get rid of those. To say, I'm going to give you the Torah, I don't understand what you're talking about. So it's not about the omer per se, the sacrifice that we brought the day after Pesach, it's the way to get out of the problems that you have, the addictions that you have, the challenges that you have. Come, we're going to help you. With the Torah, of course. But to say I'm going to give you the Torah is like telling the kid ice cream. He doesn't know what ice cream is. Why would I do it? These weeks are the weeks that we're supposed to work on ourselves to be able to get out of those challenges. And until someone's out, you can't understand. That's why you have the matzah umaror. Mefarshim asked, surely you should have maror and the seder and then matzah. Why? Because matzah is bread of freedom, maror is to remember the bitterness. Until you taste the freedom, you can't understand that you have bitterness. You're just stuck. You don't understand. I had a student one time, we might have said this here in the past. She came and she said, you know, Rabbi, I started to do what I was told is the right thing. Keep Shabbat, keep kosher, dress modestly. I said, amazing. She says, and I'll be honest, I look at my friends, they go out Friday night, they're partying, they're clubbing, they're getting high, they're getting all the boys. They seem happier than I am. If I'm doing the right thing, why are they happier than I am? Fundamental question. Often I go to schools and I say, we're going to play a game. You be the rabbi. And I'll go to the non-Jewish schools, to Highgate, to UCS, and I'll say, you be the rabbi. And I'll ask them this question. What would you answer? And the kids don't even, they're talking about themselves. It's not real happiness. It's temporary happiness. It's superficial. It comes and it goes. Is it true? I'll tell you what I answer. I said, imagine you go to the gym. In walks person number one. And they go on the treadmill level one. And they're running. Half hour, hour, hour and a half, 2 hours, big smile on their face, don't even break a sweat. In walks person number two. We'll call them Moshe Levy. And right away, level 25. Yeah? You can obviously tell this is not me. Yeah, I'm the guy who gets the cramp, you know, the stitch. You know what I'm talking about? And within 5 minutes, their shirt is soaked through. Within a half hour, every bone in their body aches. Who's happier? Anyone who's exercised knows person number two. You played a good game of ball, football, and every bone in your body aches, you can't move, then you know you had a good game. I said, your friends, they're on level one. They're happy. If you gave them a lie detector test, they're happy. But they're on level one. You're on level 25. Level 25 isn't always glamorous. Sometimes it doesn't look as good, and sometimes it hurts. But if it hurts, you know what that means? It means you're doing something. You're accomplishing. They don't know what it means to be on level 25 because they're stuck on level one. They're not sweating. They have a big smile on their face. You have to have the freedom to be able to say, wow, I can't believe that I had this suffering. Because when you're suffering, even you see the psukim. It says, Vayitzaku b'nei Yisrael mina avodah. Hashem's looking down and says, these are the children of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. They don't know what Kiddusha is. They don't know what Shabbat is. They don't know what go. They don't know. And what are they crying out? Oh, I have so much work. That's only part of your problem. But they don't understand that because they're stuck in the rut. They don't understand that that's only part of the problem. That they don't even understand what it means to be free. They only know the work problem. They don't realize the Kiddushah problem. So Hashem says these weeks are designated to work on yourself. These weeks are designated in the 7 weeks. Right, the Ramban says the same way you have Sukkot, you have 7 days. Chol HaMoed, and then Atzeret. So too, Pesach, instead of 7 days, you have 7 weeks. And then you have Atzeret, Shavuot, one of the names is Atzeret. Hoshana Rabba, many people have the minhag the last night. What do? You stay up all night. What do? At the end of the seven, over here also, you stay up all night, Shavuot. Atzeret. And, you just read last week's parasha, Ishaki Tazria, V'tam'ah, Shivat Yamim, and then what happens? She's not Tameh as long as she's nursing. Why? Because Dam Naaseh Chalav, the Gemara explains. What happens over here? What happens at the end of the 7 weeks? You have the Chalav, you have the Shavuot, and the Minhag to eat the dairy. But everything starts on Pesach. This idea of the growth, and we know the 7 weeks represent the seven different Sfirot. There's really 10 Sfirot. Again, I'm just repeating what I've heard. I know nothing. I'll read it to you. But there's 10 Sfirot in Kabbalah out there. And it starts on Pesach. The three Matzot represent Chochmah, Binah, and Da'at. And then you have the seven character traits. You have Chesed, that's the foundation. All growth in Judaism starts from Chesed. And then you have Givurah, which we translate as strength. But much more than strength, it's discipline. Right? Doesn't mean Ezwa Chacham, a Koveshet Yitzro. Imagine you have your kids being bullied in school. You want to come over to this 10-year-old kid, pick him up and say, if you mess with my son. But, if you do that, is it going to help your kid? No. Probably get bullied more. So what is it? The Givurah, the discipline to control your what you want to do what's best for the child, to do what's best for the situation. To not get upset at the wife. To not get upset at the worker. Because that won't help the situation. That's the Givurah. You have Tiferet, which is the week we're in now, which we'll talk about in a minute. Which is called beauty or glory. You have Netzach, eternity. You have Hod, which is translated as splendor, Yisod, foundation, Malchut, kingship. And this starts on the Seder. Because what do we have on the Seder? We have the Seder plate. Now you have a few bowls of charoset, depending on how big your table is. And you have maror. My father's from Yemen, the minhag is. The whole table is the Seder plate. The whole table, you can't even see the table really. All you see is maror and karpas all over the table. All you see is lettuce and parsley all over the table. I know many of the Ashkenazim, they use potatoes. It wouldn't look necessarily as nice. It's just a logistical ramification. Someone said to me, how come there's so many different... I said, in Russia and Poland, they didn't have parsley, they didn't have celery. It just didn't grow there. Right? Many things that came to be that are minhagim is just because of logistics. A few years ago, for Purim, you got to have a theme apparently. So our theme for our family was the Purim story. So, I was Haman. And my wife was Vashti. And my little baby was the king, he was Achashverosh. We had two Queen Esthers. And my son was Mordechai. And my son says to me, like, you know, I got to get a costume, but what did Mordechai wear? He was in Paraday's house. He said, did Mordechai wear a strimal? I said, I don't know what Mordechai wore, but I can guarantee you in Persia he wasn't wearing a big fur hat, right? So I got him the little Chacham Avadia costume, right? You're in Russia, you're in Poland, it's freezing cold, you wear a strimal, makes sense. Big fur hat when it's very cold. What happens? You have different things, but ultimately, the Seder plate says the Arizal, you don't need a plate. What do you need the Seder plate for? The whole table. You have stuff on the table. Says the Arizal, the Seder plate starts this concept of the different Sfirot. And I'll read it to you. In English. Alright. On the right, you place the Zroah, representing Chesed, and we'll go through each one quickly. On the opposite, on the left, you have the egg, which is the Givurah. In the middle, which is this week, you have the Maror, which represents Tiferet. Beneath the Zroah on the right, you place the Haroset, which represents Netzach. Opposite on the left, below the egg, you place the Karpas, representing Hod. Under the Maror, you place the Hazeret, which we use by Korech, which represents Yisod. And then the plate itself is the Malchut. Why do you need a Seder plate? There's no need for a plate when you have it around the table. Right? You have a big table, you have a few different bowls of haroset. You have maror, more than just one piece on a plate. You have everybody gets some maror. What's the plate represent? It represents the different sfirot. Right? It goes through, how is the chesed, how is that? The zroah, right? Hashem takes us out. Mizroa netuya, with the outstretched arm. When you're doing chesed, you're helping someone else. The egg, again, I'm just repeating what I've seen. The egg represents givura, the discipline. Sometimes it's hard-boiled, soft-boiled. The maror, we don't eat maror so that we can suffer too. It's there to try and get us to understand the pain they went through and have empathy. The harose represents netzach. Why? It's supposed to remind us of the mortar and the brick. Somebody builds a brick building, unless there's an earthquake or someone's coming to destroy it, it's going to last for eternity. It has nitzchiyut. The karpas is low, it's humble, it's like Aharon HaKohen, it's hod. The sword that we use by it, the hazeret, represents the coming together. You have the pillar, you have the foundation, you're building something. The taller you want a building to be, the stronger the foundation needs to be. The coming together of the cement, or of the foundation, the beams, into the ground, represents the coming together, and the yisod, the foundation, the coming together that you have in a sandwich. And then when you take all these together, what do you have? Malchut isn't necessarily a character trait. Malchut is the culmination of all the other character traits. You don't say, he's a king because, whatever you say, the reason he's a king because, is because he has chesed, or netzach, or hod, yisod, malchut. It's the culmination. That's the Seder plate that holds it all together. This week, today is the day of Netzach. Eternity. You have the concept, and we know each one is represented by a different person. You have Chesed is Abraham Avinu, Gevura is Yitzchak, Tiferet is Abraham, Yaakov Avinu. Netzach is Moshe Rabbeinu, and each one has a different thing. So one of the commentaries say, you open up the Mishnah that we just read over this past week on Shabbat, Pirkei Avot, it's the third week, and you read the first Mishnah, what does it say? Rabbi Omer, Rabbi says, Ezi hiderach yishara sheyavo lo ha'adam. What's the proper way that a person should act? Kol shehi tiferet lo'osea v'tiferet lo min ha'adam. Rabbi explains the concept of tiferet. And it's quite ironic, because which one of the Avot, which one of the Tzadikim represents Tiferet? Yaakov Avinu. Our rabbis tell us, Yaakov and Esav were meant to be the leaders of the world, but Esav didn't do his job. So, he has to come back as the Gilgul. Who is the Gilgul of Esav? Antoninus. And the Gemara has many stories of Antoninus and Rebbe. Rebbe, our rabbis tell us, is the Gilgul. When Rivka comes to Shem Be'ever, according to Rashi, and she says, I don't understand what's going on in my stomach. What did you say? Shnei goyim bevitnech. Says Rashi, you're assuming, who's the two goyim? Who are the two nations? Israel and Edom. What does Rashi say? Zurebi v'Antoninus. What connection? What shaykh is? Rebbe and Antoninus. Because that's going to be the ones that do it right. Antoninus was the ruler. But what happens? The Gemara tells us he had a tunnel under his house where they used to get together. He used to come from the palace to Rebbe's house and they used to learn together in Rebbe's house. Many of the questions Antoninus had is the type of questions that Esav had. The Mefashim says he had a Brit Milah. Esav never had a Brit Milah. His father saw he was red. He said, oh, it's dangerous. I'll wait till he's 13, my brother Ishmael's age. When he had his Brit Milah, Esav said, I don't think so. Don't come near me with that thing. I'm good. He never had the Brit Milah. Antoninus has the Brit Milah. Esav has the kicking in the stomach before, where he's already kicking. Antoninus asks Rebbe, when do you get a Yetzihara? You get a Yetzihara by conception or by birth? It's ironic, because the Gemara says you get it by birth, but we see Esav was already kicking in the... By conception, it sounds like he already had this Yetzihara. Rebbe was known as Rebbe Yehuda Nasi. Nasi, they say, stands for Neshama Shel Yaakov Avinu. Says how long Yaakov lives. Vayechi Yaakov Eretz Mitzrayim 17 shana. The Gemara goes out of its way to tell you, Rebbe lived in Tzipori 17 years. Yaakov Avinu lo met. Says the Gemara in Ta'anit. The Gemara says that what did Rebbe used to do after he passed away? Every Friday night, he would come home and make Kiddush. Rebbe also lo met. So one person heard or saw, and then they don't want to scare anybody. What is this Tiferet? So, again, Most people will tell you Tiferet is sort of in between Chesed and Givura. Chesed has a psolet. Abraham Avinu has Yishmael. Yitzchak Avinu, also there's psolet. He has an Esav. But Yaakov Avinu, all of his children, there's no psolet. They're all perfect. They're all complete. So one of the Mefarshim say, Ezishi Toferet Leosea, Teferet Lomen Adam, Leosea, scramble around the letters, Hayom Shalosh Shavuot, Shloshim Yom Laomer. Excuse me, Shalosh Shavuot, U... Yeah, Shlosha Yamim Laomer. If you scramble around the letters. What happens? What are we saying? The Tiferet is sort of in between. Now, I don't like that definition personally. Because you're not defining what it is. You're just saying sort of what it's not. People say to me, is your wife, she's a foreigner, is she happy in London? I say, she's not unhappy. That's already a darga up. What is this? It's not this and it's not that. You're not describing what it is. So I saw one of the Mefarshim explain. You have someone, they're the prime minister, they're the president, they're in charge of a country. And on one hand, they have a whole department. What's the department? This department's job is to make sure that they're on good terms with all the surrounding countries. And they're having meetings and they're having conferences. At the same time, besides this department that's in charge of good relations, is also the Department of Homeland Security. What's their attitude? We're at war. And anyone who comes in, we need to check. Maybe they're a spy. We need to send out our own spies to make sure they're not doing things against us. Now, which one's right? This one's on guard. And this one's making friends. Who's right? One is Chesed, one's Givura. The job of the Prime Minister, of the President, of the King or Queen, is to take the information of both of them and sort of balance both. Play the game. Understand you need a little bit of both. And there's times where you have more Chesed, there's times where you have more Givura. It's the balance. That's Tiferet. Tiferet is the balance. And what are we saying? Always, we know Yaakov Avinu represents Tiferet. Always there's two. Rabbi, who's the Gilgul of Yaakov, says there's one element of Tiferet Oseya, connection to Hashem, but there's also Tiferet Lo La'adam, that's the connection with human beings. Yaakov Avinu has two wives. Right? It says that when Eliezer was sent out to find a wife for Yitzchak, what's the one thing that he's looking for? Chesed. Because what is Yitzchak? Din. Sarah says, Gareshet ben Uma, kick Yishmael out of the house. She's Din. What is Abraham Avinu? He's Chesed. Eh? Every couple, one's Din, one's Chesed. Right now you're all thinking I'm the nice one. Yeah. Yaakov Avinu, he's Yo. Ish Tam Yoshev Ohalim, he's both. Therefore he needs two wives. One is Chesed, one is Din. You have to have a little bit of both. You have to have, he has two. Eh? He's Ish Tam Yoshev Ohalim. In a way, this equilibrium, this happy medium, is the greatest of the seven Sefirot. What does Hashem say? Sheva Shabbatot, Tmimot. They have to be like Yaakov Avinu, Ish Tam. They have to be perfect. And that's why this Midah is called beauty. Yaakov Avinu says, if you want to get, and we'll end with this, if you want to get into the Gematriot. It says the Gematria of Tiferet is 1,081. If you count all the numbers, 1 plus 2 plus 3, up to 46, that equals 1,081. 46, I'm a bit biased, is the Gematria of Levi. Levi was the third son. Now that you have Levi, it's going to make a coming together. Says Leah. It's coming together. One more time. It's this equilibrium. It's this coming together and having everyone on the same page. Levi is the third son. The same way the Tiferet is the third one of the Midot. Just like Yaakov. And even in Levi, there's two elements. In Levi, there's the Kohanim, there's Leviim. If you get into it, but we don't have time now. One is Chesed and one is Givura. It says, if you add together the numbers of Chesed, 272, Givura, 216, Tiferet, 1,081, equals 1369, which is a perfect number. 37 squared is 1,369. When you have a number that's perfectly square, that represents a bunch of different things, that shows that it's complete, it's perfect, it's tamim. Eh? They even say, you want to get very deep, this 1,369 is the number of letters in the perek that precedes the Aseret HaDibrot. So as you get ready to get the Torah, you have to have the Chesed, the Gevurah, and the Tiferet, Abraham, Yitzhak, Yaakov. The Matzot represent Abraham, Yitzhak, Yaakov. Yeah? The second Pasuk in the whole Torah, Veruach Elohim, Erachef, Dal Pnei Amayim, is the same Gematria, 1,369. Why? Because Ruach Elohim, you want to have that connection to Hashem, Merachet Al Pnei Amayim. It's there above the water, it's there above the Torah. Water represents Torah. And this number 37, this perfect number that's squared, that equals Tiferet, that was supposed to be right at the beginning, the culmination. It's the Gematria of the word Hevel. Hevel, it was supposed to be a Adam and Chava, they have Hevel, Mashiach. But they had the chet. It was the death of heaven. All the good that comes from heaven. Noah from heaven. That was supposed to be a Moshe Rabbeinu. This week, the Netzach was the Gilgul of heaven, our rabbis tell us. So, we've run out of time. There's more to say in some stories. But Be'ezrat Hashem, as we go through these weeks, we understand these weeks are the weeks of growth. And it's not just, we can't wait to get to Shavuot and then we'll get the present. The present means no matter how much you prepare, you don't really deserve it because you can't begin to understand what it means Torah. Well, what is it? Each day is a day of growth. Each week is a week of growth. That's the name of the Chag. Certain people can't understand what it means Torah. Baruch Hashem, look around the room. We're lucky enough. We know what Torah means. But whatever level we have it at, we have to have it exponentially. The Sefirot start on Pesach and they continue till Shavuot. Be'ezrat Hashem will make sure that we can connect and understand and grow during this time. And Be'ezrat Hashem will be able to be a kli, a proper vessel to understand and to receive the Torah. Amen.